all of us. Everyone at the State's Academic Medical Center. All working together to deliver complete care now and for generations to come. All over the state, including hospital and clinic locations from the Delta to the Gulf Coast. All for one reason. You, the University of Mississippi Medical Center. All for your health.
This is an MPB Think Radio podcast.
Deep South Dining is the show all about the culture of Southern flavor, from fried chicken and collard greens to shrimp and grits and a glass of sweet tea. Subscribe now to the podcast using any podcast app or download our MPB public media app.
From MPB Think Radio, this is Southern Remedy, Women's Health, where we discuss issues involving women's health. I'm Dr. Jasmine Kinsey, Assistant Professor of Internal Medicine and Pediatrics at UMMC. And as everyone knows that listens on Fridays, happy Friday, everyone. I'm excited for the weekend. I think, if I'm not mistaken, when I looked at our weather forecast, we should have a pretty clear and sunny weekend. I hope everyone didn't get too much damage with the storm. I do know some places lost some power and did get a little bit of storm damage, but I'm hoping everyone's okay. I do think we have some more rain coming up this week, but just everyone out there, please be safe. But if you got a chance to listen to our intro earlier, today we will be discussing breastfeeding. And so it's something that so many new moms are sometimes challenged with or trying to find out if it's right for them, or loved ones who have a family member who's breastfeeding and it's just foreign to them. I felt like that's what happened to me after I had my first. Everyone's like, what are you doing? And so I have got a couple of wonderful guests here with me today, Miss Avora Knight and Mrs. Marcy Talbot, who are lactation specialists, lactation consultants at UMMC. So good morning and welcome, ladies.
Good morning. Good morning. Thank you for having us.
Well, great. Well, if you guys don't mind, just take a second to tell our listeners a little bit about yourselves.
Hi, good morning. My name is Avora Knight. I am a registered nurse at UMC. I have been employed there for 33 years, and in June, I'll be at my 34th year anniversary. I am a lactation consultant at UMC, and I also help mothers with breastfeeding and educate them on nutrition, and I'm also a WIC certifier. I had to cover a dual role. I enjoy my job there. I enjoy teaching, and I just enjoy everything about UMC, and I work with a great group of young women.
That's awesome. 34 years. Everyone, congratulations. If you're riding in your car, sitting, listening to our podcast, I hope y'all are giving Avora a round of applause, because that's awesome. Plans for, well, we won't say it on the radio. We don't know what her plans are. Retire. We'll see. I hope not, because Avora got the opportunity to, or I got the opportunity to work with Avora with my three wonderful babies, and she was just a wonderful resource. But we've also got with us this morning Marcy Talbot. So Marcy, tell us a little bit about yourself as well.
Yes. First of all, we know Avora is going to retire eventually, but we're trying to talk her out of it every day. Like she said, I'm Marcy Talbot. I grew up in Brandon, so not too far away from here. I am a registered dietitian and a lactation consultant. I've been at UMC since 2010, so actually only 12 years. I took a little break, and I actually went to the VA and worked as an outpatient dietitian for a couple of years. But I came back to the same role because, like Avora said, we just worked with a great group of people. They welcomed me back, so I appreciated that. And I do enjoy so much working with moms and babies. And as she mentioned, we also have a WIC office, which I think a lot of the moms really appreciate, just kind of bridging that gap before they go home. And I think that's about it as far as me.
And don't say only 12 years. That's a long time. Like, yeah. I look back and reflect. I started at UMC in 2011. And so I was thinking, I was like, 13 years? It feels like just yesterday.
It does.
But mainly my medical students and residents age me when they're like, I work
start with you. You know, when I was a first year medical student, now I'm a doctor. I'm like, oh my gosh, it does not feel that long. But time really does fly. So, but you guys didn't lie. Y'all are a wonderful group. And I think I bugged you guys, I don't know how much, when I had Trey. Like, you know, you think people, like, as physician, I'm a pediatrician. I'm like, oh yeah, I got this. I know what I'm doing. And then I'm like, you have a baby and you're like, what is this foreign being that someone has given me? My husband and I tell this story all the time. Like, when after we had Trey, we kind of looked at each other and we're like, they just let you take these babies home. Like, there's no like checkbox to make sure I know what I'm doing before I leave. Like, this is yours. He's like, it's ours. I'm like, so I feel like as new parents, you just, it's so overwhelming. And one of those things that can be overwhelming for a new mom and a new life to take care of is breastfeeding. And so as anyone knows that listens to the show, I always just love to start off with some statistics and just kind of share the importance sometimes of the topics that we're talking about. And so looking at, this was coming from the CDC's website, that the data is showing about 83.2% of infants initiate breastfeeding, with 24.9% of babies exclusively breastfeeding at 6 months of age. And so that is a pretty large drop off. I won't lie, I was very surprised by the 83%. And as we know, that varies from state to state. And so that's kind of overall a national average. But we have seen the trend since about 2007 about the increase of breastfeeding across the U.S. So that was really great to know. The U.S. dietary guidelines are recommending that infants be exclusively breastfed for the first 6 months, with continued breastfeeding while introducing solids for at least 1 year or longer. And then the AAP also recommends exclusive breastfeeding for 6 months, with continued breastfeeding along with appropriate foods, even up to the age of two. But of course, we're going to talk a lot about this throughout. It's really up to what is best for you and your baby in general. And so a little bit, tell us a little bit about what a lactation consultant does. What is your role or job?
So our role obviously is in the hospital, and then we mostly only see inpatients. So we only get to see those moms, you know, for the first maybe 3 days after delivery. Other lactation consultants, they can make home visits. They can do virtual visits. We actually recently at UMC have just had an outpatient lactation clinic open. I believe it was in July, so it's very new.
Awesome.
So they can continue that kind of continuity of care through UMC there, and they can see those moms and babies beyond those first, you know, few days. We do actually cover the entire hospital, so there are times that we are going to see a little bit older babies, or if a mom is admitted to the hospital for some reason and her baby can't be there with her, then we can help her with pumping or, you know, those types of things. So we kind of travel all over the hospital, the ICUs, everywhere like that. As far as training goes, we do have to have so many contact hours that we have to do, like continuing education, that sort of thing. And then in order to sit for your exam, we had to have, I think it was 1,000, but I might be wrong, hours of kind of like supervised practice, like hands-on, either teaching classes or helping moms breastfeed. So our role, it changes every day. Sometimes we have a very complex mom and baby dyad, and then other days we're just like, kind of like, are you sure you don't want to breastfeed? It's really, you know, great benefits for mom and baby. So sometimes we're really pushing that. And then other times, like I said, we're like, this is very complicated, and it can, it's not as easy and natural sometimes as it should be. So our roles change a lot daily.
Yeah.
Yes, and we try to provide the evidence-based information and not to go on our experience. And we meet the parents where they're at, and to be supportive, and so that they can be able to achieve a great breastfeeding experience and know what to expect on their way when they are discharged from the hospital. We also provide community resources, and they also can call us back if there is any problem or concerns. Unfortunately, we don't have a breastfeeding clinic for ourselves, but our breastfeeding clinic that's in the Eli Manning, we do work hand in hand to make sure these mothers are getting the best care they can.
Awesome. And do you guys still do the classes?
Well, since COVID, We are not doing the breastfeeding class that you are talking about, Dr. Jasmine. But hopefully soon, when the hospital decide to open back up, mm-hmm. receiving visitors and everything, maybe we will begin that class. But they can, expecting mother can go online, mm-hmm. and there is a website they can go to. If they go to umc.edu or just put in UMC breastfeeding class, and then they're able to click on that. It's a self-paced program that they can do and at their own time, at their own pace. And if they have any questions, concerns, they also have the resource numbers for to contact the lactation staff at UMC. We also will go down and see mothers in the ADU clinic that are having complications with their pregnancies. So, and we help the doctors a lot with breastfeeding issues. A lot of the pediatric doctors.
She's trying to really like throw a little bit of shade, y'all, online, like as in me, as I was like calling Evora, or like, you know, every now and then I'm like, Evora, what's going on? Because I'd be there at UMC. But no, it's wonderful. And so I point that out because, you know, if you're able to take a class on breastfeeding, online is just fine too. I mean, it's just the introduction to breastfeeding, because I feel like once you have the baby, it can be really overwhelming to be like, oh my God, here's a new baby. Are you pooping enough? Are you peeing enough? How do I breastfeed? So having some idea, you know, before you get there, I felt was like very helpful for me in general during my journey. And too, again, ladies, if that doesn't happen to you, you show up to the hospital and you don't know what's going on, this is why these wonderful ladies are here. They will walk you through every step of it. But there are definitely some options online for you to look at as far as breastfeeding goes before you kind of show up to have the baby. It's so much going on that day. I feel like you're just not as prepared as even as we try to be. So ladies, tell us a little bit about, you know, some moms are trying to find out if breastfeeding is the right thing for them. What are some of the benefits to breastfeeding for baby and for mom?
Well, breast milk is the best nourishment for the infant. It's easily digested. It protects the infant from some illness like asthma, childhood leukemia, obesity, ear infection, eczema, diarrhea, lower respiratory infection, decrease the risk of SIDS, and inflammatory bowel disease and diabetes. We can keep going with that list mm-hmm. for the baby. But for mother, it also decreased their risk of breast cancer, ovarian cancer, and diabetes, cardiovascular disease. And when mothers have a history of depression, breastfeeding tends to reduce that depression and that anxiety. So it overall is the best nourishment for baby, but it also benefits mothers just as well.
Awesome. Yep. And I definitely have. And I let patients know all the time, there are a lot of studies that support that, you know, your baby is allowed to, when babies are born, they don't have that strong immune system that you and I have. They haven't been exposed to the things that other people have been exposed to in the world. And so they're able to get that immunity from mom in their breastfeeding. And like Evora said, the list is, it seems ongoing, yes, you know, yes. endless as far as like the benefits ultimately of breastfeeding in general. This is Southern Remedy Women's Health, where we discuss issues involving women's health. I'm Dr. Jasmine Kinsey, Assistant Professor of Internal Medicine and Pediatrics at UMMC. And for those who might just be listening in, we are actually covering breastfeeding this morning. And I have two wonderful and very experienced guests here with me, Evora Knight and Marcy Talbot, who are both lactation consultants at UMMC. And between the two of them, we have got almost 50 years of experience. On the show today. So please make sure that you are calling in with your questions or comments. And this is not also just for new moms. So dads that are listening, grandparents that are out there that have questions about what's going on with mom and baby, or how you can best support mom and baby through this, please feel free to call us. So we talked a little bit about what a lactation consultant does and how they can ultimately support mom and baby. And we started to like hint on this a little bit before we took the break, but how can a mom prepare to breastfeed? How do I start this journey as a new mom? And I've decided like maybe breastfeeding might be a good idea for me and my baby. What is your recommendation for mom?
Yeah, I think we spoke on earlier about breastfeeding classes, and those can be live, virtual, or online. It's just a great way to get the basics. I hate to steal one of Evora's lines, but she uses it all the time that, you know, your journey can be unique. It doesn't have to be textbook. So I think that's one thing to keep an open mind. You can have goals set, but things happen out of our control sometimes. So just, you know, being aware of the basics, some of the some things to expect. I feel like a lot of times our moms are very surprised about how often a newborn baby eats, and that can be very overwhelming when you have lack of sleep and a lot of other things going on. You yourself are very hormonal, so just kind of knowing those kinds of things and what to expect. Looking at if you are returning to work, maybe what kind of pump you would be using, mm-hmm. or what exactly your work allows as far as like breaks or space. You know, that's something that you would want to do before you deliver, if that is something that you think is going to happen. Like I said, just kind of, La Leche League is a great place to get information as well. That's a, they're very active here in the area on Facebook. Mm-hmm. They used to have meetings. They may still do that. I'm honestly not sure though, but that's a great resource as well. If a mom qualifies for the WIC program, they actually do breastfeeding classes, and the lactation staff with their local office will call and have appointments with them as well.
You also may want to talk to your OB doctor, because being a baby-friendly institution at UMC is that our clientele do get ongoing breastfeeding tips throughout their whole pregnancy. So I think most of the hospitals here in the Jackson area are baby friendly. So we are regulated and to cover certain topics with the mom. Mm-hmm. So at each visit. So just like planning for the baby, planning for the arrival of the baby, planning for breastfeeding is more important too. Like Marcy was saying, check with your employer ahead of time, maybe in your second trimester. Talk to other coworkers to see what did they do. Mm-hmm. And also see if there's somewhere that you can go privately to pump. Purchasing the correct breast pump that is suitable for you, because there are various breast pumps out there and you want to make sure you're getting the best pump that you can. Also, community resources, which we talked a bit on, the health department, and some insurances are offering, I think she said 20 breastfeeding classes that she could went to prior to delivery. Mm-hmm. But since COVID has happened, a lot of the in-person classes and everything has been decreased, but they're now opening up. And you can always go online and Google breastfeeding classes, and you will see what's available in the Jackson area or in your area.
Yep. You guys made excellent, you know, kind of, I talked to a lot of my colleagues about returning to work, especially when you have a very kind of busy schedule that's very regimented. You know, for us, like I'm primary care, so I'm in clinic. And so talking with my bosses and my colleagues and making sure I was ready to return to work, I'd block a clinic time to make sure I had time to pump. And if any of my nurses out there are listening, I had such an awesome group of clinic nurses who like knew it was that time, and you know, would, you know, kind of make sure, hey, Dr. Kinsey, have you gone and, you know, taken care of this, or we'll handle this, you know, in the meantime. And so it's wonderful, like they said, if you can understandably plan ahead what your plans are to return to work, because it can be an overwhelming kind of experience to return. So always, you know, being as prepared as you can, I think, helps in the long run.
And always talk with your OB doctor, with your concerns, because if you don't speak up for yourself, then we would never know what your concerns and problems are. Some mothers, they do have previous breastfeeding difficulties. Let's start addressing that during your pregnancy so that we can be able to find a point or make a goal to help you out so you won't have those difficulties. And some mothers just have maybe some medical concerns, some questions about medication, maybe had a breast augmentation or a reduction mm-hmm. that can affect breastfeeding. So check into that. You can call us early in your pregnancy, and we don't mind helping you and getting you in contact with the right person.
And they mean it. when they say call, that's it. Because all of us, you know, are passionate about whatever area of medicine we're in. And so we get really excited when people want to know more about what we do. And it's like, let me tell you how I can help you. And so our lactation consultants at UMC have that same excitement and passion. And it's such a joyful time for many people. And we want to make it a joyful and less stressful experience. It can be stressful experience if I have moms out there listening that feels like they're alone. Like, it can be stressful, but having a good support overall can be very, very helpful. But as we mentioned that, you know, I was talking about the statistics a little bit earlier, how many start off breastfeeding and then kind of seems to dwindle. What do you guys think are a lot of like the limitations to some people being able to continuing breastfeeding, or struggles or common struggles that you see for some new moms?
Well, for us, we ask a mother, what are your thoughts about breastfeeding? And they would say, well, I don't want to do that. I'll be tied down with this baby. I heard it hurts. And I just want to do it, try it one time. So I think they lack confidence, lack of knowledge, as well as they don't have any support people that's able to support them with their decision. And it is challenging. So you do need some help. You do need some support. Even if the baby is a year of age and still breastfeeding, you may need some help at that time. That's what the resources out here is available to help you with. I think really lack of knowledge, not a good support system.
Yeah. And I would say too, just like you said, kind of lack of confidence sometimes. We all kind of want to control things. And once new baby comes, they're in control. So I think I've mentioned before, just like feeding schedules, like babies want to cluster feed sometimes, and that can mean that they want to feed every 30 minutes for a few hours. So mom thinks, oh, my milk must not have enough nutrients in it. Mm-hmm. So this isn't for me. I'm not doing enough. Or sometimes the growth charts can be a little scary to moms. If a baby, you know, isn't moving super fast up the growth chart, they can think, well, I'm not giving my baby enough nutrients. I know we just talked about work, but there's actually a PUMP Act, P-U-M-P. And if a company or corporation has more than 50 employees, they are supposed to give you adequate breaks and a place to pump besides a restroom. So if a company has less than 50, they can ask for an exemption. But we hear from most moms that their employers are very supportive, I think. Breastfeeding, like we talked about, some of the benefits, if it makes a baby less sick, then a mom doesn't have to take as much time off work to go to the doctor, you know, that sort of thing. So I think it can be beneficial financially for companies as well. But also cultural norms. I don't think it's a secret that Mississippi can be last in a lot of health categories. Mm-hmm. And I think we are 47th or 48th in breastfeeding. So we're not 50th, I don't believe, but still we have a lot of challenges here as far as health, and that includes breastfeeding.
Definitely. And I think you guys hit on a lot of things that I think most people see across the nation, not just Mississippi, but you do have, but one of the big barriers is kind of less education and less of the cultural norm. And I was sharing my story with Marcy and Avora before we started. I think we were out eating when I went to nurse my son. I had a cover, and even my family members were looking at me like, are you about to feed him here? And I'm like, we're eating. Like, what is he supposed to do? It's definitely trying to kind of shift some of those things and giving people support and comfort. And in the past, it even used to be hospital practices. You were away from your baby. And I think when I had my son in 2015, that was about the time we started mother baby unit at UMC. So he never left our room. He left our room to go get circumcised, and that was it. And then the rest of the time he was there. And so that really helps. A lot of hospitals have that now. The baby can stay in the room with you, and they don't necessarily have to go to a nursery, which has been really helpful for a lot of moms in general. So we talked a little bit about the challenges about weight and feeding, and that might be some of the limitations for some moms for breastfeeding. So how does a mom know my baby is getting enough, I'm making enough? Like, how do we figure that out?
Well, during the feeding, we teach the mother, as the baby is latched on, look at your baby, eye to eye contact. Observe for any signs of swallowing. see swallowing, hear swallowing. Is the baby content after the he released the breast? Is the membrane moist? We also encourage them to keep up with wet diapers and soil diapers because we know what goes in must come out. And we anticipate a baby that is 1 day of age, 24 hours old, should feed 8 to 12 times a day and should wet at least one wet and one poo-poo. But what we have to get into, let them remind them, is that breastfed baby's going to wet less in the beginning than a baby who has been receiving a bottle, mm-hmm. a formula. We also encourage them to use an app. If they don't feel like using a paper log, they can get an app on their phone and keep up with wet diapers and soil diapers. Of course, we know by the time the baby leave us at 48 to 72 hours, they're going to lose their birth weight. Is going to be down, but they should start regaining that weight at day 5 mm-hmm. and should have regained their birth weight by 2 weeks of age. And our babies come back to our newborn lactation clinic within 2 to 3 days after discharge. All breastfeeding babies, we try to get them to come back. And also mother has a visit as well, that she would get lactation support at that visit along with the baby. So we just also describe them what to look at if the baby was dehydrated, if the baby not wetting good wet diapers, if the baby is just lethargic, mm-hmm. if their lips are dry, scant urine, their diapers, if they see any brick color, red brick color, orange color in the baby's diaper, that can mean that the baby is dehydrated. Mm-hmm. So we try to get the mother to monitor these things. And then in doubt, give a call. Mother, your intuition is there first. If you think it's a problem, it's a problem. Call for help.
I completely agree. And I loved the previous statement that Marcy mentioned that Evora uses, is that everybody's journey is different. So remembering that, and I try to remind my moms that too as well, when I'm seeing them in clinic, that your journey may be different. And remember, a lot of what we're saying today is very helpful in general. But remember, you and your baby may not fit these particular categories. And so that's why it's really important to be communicating with your baby's doctor, your OBGYN, and all those people kind of throughout that process. And as Evora mentioned, babies are expected to lose weight after birth. You know, typically we say less than 10% is an okay amount of weight for a baby to lose, 7 to 10 or so. And usually for your pediatrician, you want to see that weight back by 2 weeks of age. So not uncommon, moms, for babies to lose a little bit of weight at the beginning. It does not mean your supply is not there, you know, and that's why, as Evora saying, you know, asking for help, looking for those signs, all those things can be very helpful. This is Southern Remedy Women's Health, where we discuss issues involving women's health. I'm Dr. Jasmine Kinsey, Assistant Professor of Internal Medicine and Pediatrics at UMMC. And if we have people that are just listening in, and just kind of a recap for the others, we are talking about breastfeeding. And I've got two wonderful ladies here with me, Evora Knight and Marcy Talbot, who are UMMC lactation consultants who get a chance to help a lot of our new mothers with breastfeeding. And so we've gotten a chance to talk a little bit about the benefits of breastfeeding for people that might want to go back and listen to the podcast, some challenges that some moms may have that limit their breastfeeding, how do I know when my baby's getting enough, and kind of those types of things. So one of the things we haven't gotten a chance to talk about, we talked a little bit about breastfeeding and those types of things. There are so many moms, I think, also that limits breastfeeding is supply. And if you're ever Googling and you're looking and watching these videos, you'll see things online. It's like, look at how much breast milk I pumped. And if you don't pump that much, you're like, oh my God, like something wrong with me. Am I not doing something right? Or you'll see all these people storing all this breast milk and you're like, I have just enough for my baby. What do I do? So what are some things that moms can do that can help with their breast milk production?
One thing, I think sometimes that pressure, like you said, comparing mm-hmm. yourself to others. I can't remember who said it, but we've had different meetings and someone said, you know, you want to make enough to feed the baby, not the freezer. So I think your body, your milk production really is ultimately made just to satisfy your baby. We just live in a world where we talked about, you know, going back to work and that sort of thing. So I think just putting that extra stress on yourself Also, if there are going to be big changes like going back to work, you might have to pump one or two more times a day or a little bit longer. We actually had a coworker that just returned to work within the last month. And so she, you know, said that once she got back to work, she knew that her supply could take a dip. So I think she's pumping an extra time or two a day and maybe a few minutes longer each time just to kind of get ahead of that, just in case that happens. A lot of moms think that you have to drink water to produce milk, and it is important to stay hydrated for your health, but drinking tons of water is not going to make more milk. The body kind of makes milk on a supply and demand basis, so removing that milk is the best way to increase your milk supply. There are certain foods that you can eat that can help, but if you don't remove that milk, they are just a helper, I guess. They're not necessarily going to make more milk. Generally, those are going to be kind of whole grains, like things like oatmeal, that sort of thing. There are lactation cookies. Years ago, you had to make your own, but now they have them at, like, I think Target and Walmart. Mm-hmm.
Anywhere you go. Yeah. Walmart, Target, CVS, Kroger.
A lot of things that are promoted to kind of increase milk production, though, you have to be careful because they just have a lot of other ingredients, like high in sugar. So you just have to be careful with those kind of in moderation, just like everything else with nutrition. So I would just think kind of trying not to put too much pressure and stress on yourself, probably removal of milk, and just trying to be, you know, as healthy as possible would be the main ways to kind of get your milk production up. Of course, we have complications and more medical issues where you could speak to a physician about maybe some medications and that sort of thing, but that's not quite as common, I would say.
And so if you do notice that your milk production is decreasing, why don't you contact a lactation consultant or a lactation physician to determine the cause of it and also develop a plan to make sure we can get that breast milk back up.
Mm-hmm. What about some of the supplements? So I won't lie, I was one of those people. I was like, I don't know how many cups of milk, mother's milk tea I was drinking from GNC because I was trying to make sure. But I know like they have those teas. They also have like fenugreek and some other things. What are you guys' thoughts about those kind of supplements?
Well, if you're not removing milk, if baby's not removing milk effectively, or if you're pumping effectively, those devices will not help at all.
Mm-hmm.
As much. So, but again, we do recommend that you seek further medical assistance to determine the cause of it.
Agreed. And sorry, go ahead, Marcy.
I was just going to say, most of the time, the things like the mother's milk tea can be okay, but we do suggest, talking to, especially baby's doctor. Because some things like fenugreek, if you have certain like allergies or medical conditions, they are not recommended. And it obviously doesn't say that on the label. So we always suggest talking to a medical professional before doing some of those supplements. They're just not regulated by, you know, like the FDA. And so some of them can be good, but you just kind of want to be on the safer side as far as those go.
And I think you guys bring up a great point of talking with your doctor because it's kind of like a little bit different, but like insomnia. I tell people like I can give you a sleeping pill all day long, but if you're doing stuff that's keeping you up at night, it's not going to help with the underlying problem. So if we're not getting to the root as to why we're not producing enough milk or what some of our limitations may be, these supplements and things are not going to make a whole lot of difference. So it's always just kind of good that to go back over with whether you're a pediatrician, your OBGYN, a lactation consultant, and just kind of discussing with them what your options may be. You brought up a great point. We talked about moms staying hydrated and making sure we're getting lots of water. What are some other nutritional recommendations you have for mommy and baby during this breastfeeding time?
Yeah, so moms, I think on average what the thought is that you're burning an extra 500 calories a day. So you definitely want to get increased calories. Of course, you want to be as healthy as possible, so try and get those calories from healthy fats, so you know, cooking with olive oil, that sort of thing. Nuts can be a great way to get healthy fats in, avocados. Also, you want to make sure that you're getting plenty of protein in. As far as a mom that might follow a vegetarian diet, a lot of times it's suggested that she supplement maybe some with vitamin B12, because a lot of times you're diet's a little bit deficient in that. It's really just general healthy eating, just a little bit more. Honestly, there's no secret ingredient, or there's no, you know, thing that you must eat or anything like that. But just kind of trying to eat healthy, but make sure you're getting plenty of, like I said, that protein. And prenatal vitamins are also still suggested during breastfeeding, just to make sure, or some kind of multivitamin to make sure that you're getting plenty of vitamins and minerals in as well.
Awesome. And so I would also say, so my advice typically to moms and other people is have things everywhere you breastfeed, because I would always like sit down, get comfortable. We get a good latch and I'm like, man, I'm starving. I can't reach anything and I want to move, because if I move, then we might miss our latch and all that kind of stuff. So to all my moms, I usually tell them, like, have your bottle of water, have you some little snacks at typical by your rocking chair, by your bed, or wherever it may be in your house, so that you are always prepared. I had all kinds of things in my night dresser stand. And my husband's like, what is going on? I'm like, because I keep forgetting to get food. So you have to make sure that you're having. So that's always my advice. Like, new moms that are breastfeeding, when we're talking about nutrition and that kind of stuff, making sure you have lots of snacks and lots of things ultimately around the house. And just a reminder to the moms that might be exclusively breastfeeding, making sure that your baby gets vitamin D. So there's vitamin D drops out there that your baby can get, and then making sure you're also getting plenty of vitamin D too. Of course, if we're dealing with premature babies, again, that's a discussion with your doctor and their pediatrician to make sure baby and you are getting all the nutrients you need as well. This is Southern Remedy Women's Health, where we discuss issues involving women's health. I'm Dr. Jasmine Kinsey, Assistant Professor of Internal Medicine and Pediatrics at UMMC. And for people that are just listening in, I'm so grateful to have Avora Knight and Marcy Talbot on with me today. They're lactation consultants at UMMC. And we have been talking about the benefits of breastfeeding, some challenges of breastfeeding, mommy staying healthy. And my producer had a great question that I actually get a lot in clinic and surprised people hadn't called about. But if you don't mind sharing with us, Marissa.
Of course. Thank you, Dr. Kinsey. And thank you, Marcy and Avora. So my question is, you've told us kind of the things that mothers should try and add to their diet to help with lactation. But what sort of things do you not recommend for mothers to eat or drink while they are breastfeeding?
Yeah, so as far as eating and drinking, a majority of things are just fine. The few things that you kind of want to limit would be caffeine. The recommendation is about 200 to 300 milligrams a day. I can't remember exactly, but I think like one cup is around 120, maybe something like that. So, you know, a little bit more than that, but you just want to limit that. We get questions about spicy foods all the time, and that really shouldn't cause any issues at all. A lot of cultures all over the world, you know, a majority of the foods they eat can be very spicy, and their babies breastfeed just fine. The other thing to kind of, I always tell people, you know, kind of watch your baby. If you notice there's a certain food, when you eat it, the baby acts a little bit different or has some issues, and maybe limit that food. And that would be probably basically the only things you should avoid as far as food and drinks. Obviously avoiding, alcohol. sorry, it's right there. Alcohol. It's suggested you can have at least one glass a day or one serving a day. The suggestion would be to either feed before you drink, or if you do have a drink, wait about 2 or 3 hours before you feed again. So that's kind of the suggestions as far as food and drinks. Obviously stay away from drugs and tobacco, that sort of thing as well.
Yep, perfect, because we get that a lot. And of course, as you mentioned, with different people, again, talking to your doctor, because there are some rare occurrences where we do have babies that have a true milk protein allergy or things like that. And so moms have to work on their diet for those types of things. But just like Marcy said, watching your baby, see if your baby's different when you have certain foods and things like that that you eat. So we've talked a lot about mommy baby and the wonders and joys of breastfeeding, but there are some complications. So what are some kind of common complications or problems that you see with moms having with breastfeeding?
Complaining of nipple pain and discomfort is one thing that mothers complain of. And then we have to observe a breastfeeding session and see what is the cause of that. So we encourage mothers, don't start all of these nipple creams and ointments. We got to address what the cause of the problem is first before we go offering you other types of remedies. Mm-hmm. Because if we don't correct the latch, correct the positioning, nothing is going to help with that discomfort until we correct that problem.
And on that one, sometimes less is more. You get the little tube of stuff and you're like, let me lather this all up. And they're like, no, not like you don't need kind of that much to fix the problem. So like they said, that can ultimately help. What are your thoughts on nipple shields? That's a thing that a lot of people will use. I feel there's some moms that say that or even professionals, it interferes with the latch and feeding. Or what has been your experience with that?
Nipple shields is only temporarily. You can use, and we rarely use the nipple shields, but we do have mamas come in. When I used the nipple shield with my first baby and it worked okay, I want to use it with this baby. And so I said, well, let's assess the situation first before we go using this, because mm-hmm. a nipple shield is just like an artificial nipple, and it's going to increase the risk the baby not latching correctly. And then if they're using the shield and the baby's not latched correctly, then the baby's not having good milk transfer. Mm-hmm. So you have to assess the problem in the situation first. Let's try it without it and see if we can get the baby to breastfeed well.
Right.
Yeah. And like she mentioned, a lot of times it kind of is like an evil necessity, especially for like these preterm babies. If they've, you know, very, very small, mm-hmm. it can help them latch. Mm-hmm. But like Evora mentioned, like trying it first without it. And then also telling the mom like, hey, we use the nipple shield this time, but next time try it without it first, you know, and just mm-hmm. kind of keep practicing without it sometimes.
Yeah. And I want to remind my moms in general just, you know, about breastfeeding. If you're experiencing a lot of pain or swelling, redness, any of those things, those are all reasons to contact your doctor
and
make sure you're getting care, because you can see that sometimes as well. Well, we are getting close to the end of the hour, so I just want to kind of get you guys' thoughts on what is your kind of best advice to moms wanting to breastfeed. If there was one thing you had to say, what would you say?
I would say ask for help, whether that's your family or friends or La Leche League or health department, or calling your OB or your pediatrician. If kind of like Ivora mentioned, your intuition is a lot of times right. So if something doesn't feel right, or if you feel like you're on the verge of a breakdown, you know, there's so many resources, whether personal or professional. So I would say reach out for help. It doesn't mean that you're inadequate or anything like that. It's a hard thing. It's mm-hmm. So I think reaching for help when you need it.
Absolutely. Call for help.
Mm-hmm. And so I tell everyone, you know, as a mom, a pediatrician, a primary care, like all those things, moms, you know, doctor for mom, for the mothers as well. You know, I'm a huge proponent of breastfeeding, but I also understand it's not for everybody. Right. And so I always tell my moms, you know, you have to do what's best for you and your baby. If it's breastfeeding has turned into where we can't enjoy our time with our baby, our connection with our baby, that maybe it might not be the right thing for you. And that's okay. And I feel sometimes moms need to hear that. You know, we do know all the benefits of breastfeeding and for mom and for baby and those types of things. But there are babies that can't breastfeed, whether it's latch or mom can't get enough milk, whether it's from pumping or things of that nature. So we do have babies that thrive. We have babies that thrive with formula and grow and have the things that they need. But I just feel like sometimes there's some moms that get so consumed or feel that they have failed their baby in some kind of way. I hope that if anyone's listening, that's you, you have not. But we're just saying today that you have lots of support if this is something that you ultimately want to do.
We actually have someone that works in our office. I had a really hard time with her first baby. And as soon as she stopped, she was a different person. So with her second one, she said, I don't even want to go through that again. And she's one of our best like teachers and supporter of moms, you know? So it can be that way sometimes. And, I know sometimes lactation consultants can get a bad rap for trying to pressure people, but we don't feel that way at all. We want to support a mom however we can. We want her to make the best choice for her and her baby.
And if that choice is to provide breast milk by bottle, is still breastfeeding, mm-hmm. and it is okay. We're here to support you with whatever decision you make.
And I think it's great, too. Don't forget the combination. I tell some moms, too, some breast milk is better than none at all. So if you're supplementing with formula because that works out when you return to work and you're able to provide some breast milk, that's perfectly fine, too. Well, I hope everyone got a lot out of today. And I thanks so much for Avora and Marcy joining us. And remember, we truly enjoy you as callers listening in. So Southern Remedy Women's Health is a production of Mississippi Public Broadcasting, Think Radio, and it's funded in part by a grant from the University of Mississippi Medical Center and generous support from listeners like you. Today's show was engineered by Marissa Vaughn. I'm Dr. Jasmine Kinsey. Join us next Friday at 11 for Southern Remedy Women's Health, and stay tuned for NPR's Here and Now coming up next on MPB Think Radio.
This is an MPB Think Radio podcast. To hear previous shows, visit mpbonline.org or download the MPB Public Radio app to listen on your iPhone or Android phone on demand.